You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. This podcast on OneOfUs.net and all the podcasts on OneOfUs.net are brought to you by Oscar Blues Brewery, with locations in Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, Longmont, Colorado, and Brevard, North Carolina. Each location has all of their beers on tap, including organic sodas. They make rubs for barbecue. They're really great. And also brought to you by the subscribers. Because without you, quite frankly, there is no OneOfUs.net. Think about becoming a subscriber.
Take that shit off, please. You look like a Klansman.
Like 150 years ago, this was spooky.
You do that with a British accent, Chris.
Yeah, oh, right. Wait, how would you do that?
Hello, Governor. Ghosts and such. Governor.
Pip, pip, cheery, boo.
Don't be alarmed. That's your friendly neighborhood.
We
ghost.
Lost our English audience. We're sorry.
That's
all right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to spend the evening haunting you, don't you?
I don't mean a bother. I mean a bother.
A boozer.
Yes. I hope this crystal chandelier you're not personally attached to.
I take no pleasure in this myself. I mean, look, this is not what my job is. This is our class system. In the ghost class system, I have to do this. I'm bound by this rigid class system that says I must haunt you rich motherfuckers.
Well, there you go. There is actually a lot of rigid class systems in this movie. We actually hit on something that's here.
That is actually the true horror of all of Britain. That's the thing they're most terrified of, the class system.
Well, you know, that Brexit. But anyway, let's talk about this movie, The Little Stranger. This is by Lenny Abramson, who recently got quite a lot of kudos for directing the film Room, of course, which led to great reviews and excellent performances. And I think that's the movie that pretty much got Brie Larson to be Captain Marvel. So there you go.
Yes.
So
because Captain Marvel got her powers by being chained up in a shed by a pedophile.
But I'm thinking Donald
Gleeson. Remember the rest of that story? I'm sure it's in there.
I don't think Donald Gleeson's going to get to be Moon Knight after this. Is all I'm saying.
He's already pretty pale.
Yeah, he is. But I think that's just the outfit, not necessarily the look of said.
They save money then.
Personality.
What we're saying is there's some really talented people involved in this movie, which is unfortunate because, as Bo said earlier, it did not stick the landing.
There's some really good acting going on in here. I really like the story. It just doesn't have much of an ending, and that's sad. Yeah.
Well, the story here, and this is based on a book that, believe it or not, was published in 2009, because this certainly feels like something more of the Shirley Jackson.
It's a very classic,
like, Henry James.
It's a very gothic, you know, ghost story.
And as well, in terms of, like, where I would say, like, obviously there have been modern gothic films that you can tell are modern gothic films, like The Woman in Black, which have been very, very sped up for today's audiences.
Yeah.
This feels like if you've ever gone and read a collection of, like, Victorian ghost stories, they take a while for anything to happen.
Yeah. This movie, its pace is incredibly languid.
And that works,
at least
for a while.
I liked it.
About two-thirds
of the movie, I was settling for, like, oh, this is going to be a really cool, creepy, atmospheric
killer. Nice slow burn. They're not going to do jump scares.
But by the final act, things are just going to go crazy. And they start to, and then the movie keeps finding ways to pull back.
Yeah.
And say, oh, but this other thing.
Well, the story follows Donald Gleason as Dr. Faraday. We see he is a
soulless ginger.
Let me just
fuck
do that.
Yourself.
Let me just do that.
Is that a spoiler?
We'll get there. We'll get
feels
there.
It the whole time.
We'll get to his soullessness, gingerishness. and then Beau will retort.
Gingeriness.
At least part of him that's still alive will retort.
Yeah. He plays at this particular juncture, a country doctor who, you know, he's still a young man. And
he's working for the National Health Service.
Yeah, exactly. And he is going in to care for a formerly very wealthy family and their slowly crumbling manse, the decrepit huge mansion, which we see very early on. He has strong memories of, and even an attachment to, from visiting when he was a very young man.
His mother used to be a maid there, and she worked her fingers to the bone to get him an education and to allow him to rise from his common status.
Above his grubby station.
That's right.
Which this movie lets us know. I mean, even when the man is dressed up in a tuxedo and sipping cocktails in a drawing room, a legitimate drawing room, the people that he's with just kind of look at him like, my God, man, aren't you the help?
Yeah. Well, he is almost treated like a servant. Oh, you're the doctor. You're the fancy servant.
Well, the issue is that Will Poulter, who is the one surviving man of the family, has come back from the war terribly burnt and injured, and he is brought out there to care for him and even to experiment with a program that's not nefarious or anything. It's basically some sort of electrical stimulus for his injured leg.
You and see how this works.
And one of those, like, okay, well, this is an experiment I can actually write about for medical journals, so this is good for my career. So I will do it because this family really cannot afford to pay a doctor on a regular basis anymore. to do it. And as it comes along, it's like, it's clear he's so super into the house. He also starts to be super into Ruth Wilson, who plays the
Caroline,
who is the heiress. I mean, her
mother. There's a son, a daughter, and a mother. The mother is played by Charlotte Rampling.
Yes.
And Ruth Wilson plays the daughter, who, you know, they kind of make the argument that you know, Roddy is somewhat of a war hero, but he's a little bit overwhelmed by the running of the household affairs. Whereas she was in the WAFs, the Women's Air Corps, and, you know, was kind of setting out on her career when she was called back to help take care of him. And so, you know, she's kind of living a bit of a disappointed life because she's you know, since she's a woman, she's not allowed to kind of run the house all on herself, even though she's the most competent person.
I mean, it's remarked upon among other characters how smart she is and how tragic it is that she's trapped at this old crumbling mansion, basically. Right. And she should be doing something more interesting with her life. So as the movie goes on, and boy does it, we just see repeated visits of Domhnall Gleeson to there, slowly becoming clear that he is into Ruth Wilson, but also there's a sort of like, I don't know, almost felt like that modern day, well, she doesn't immediately really like me, so I am almost very resentful.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Poisoned sort of face that he gives to a lot of this. I'm very upset.
Also,
that
there might be ghosts. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit of insinuation of a creepiness there because there was like a daughter, a sister.
There's a little bit, and also
Ruth Wilson that died young. And there's a little, oh, the noise, the house is filled with old creaks and everything. Yeah. And we get to a point well over halfway through the film where it starts insinuating maybe there's something a little bit, like, currently going on.
And they start finding Susu Studio written on the wall.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Suddenly Susan happens.
Being haunted by
I was thinking Suki Suki Sue by Steppenwolf.
You're being haunted by the drummer for Genesis.
Which is interesting, considering he wasn't even born yet.
So, as far as we know.
Yeah. The ghost thing is kind of a side thing throughout the movie itself, but it very much is about his relationship with this family and his thoughts about.
And he's literally, he's outclassed here because he is not of the gentry. And even though this family is dead broke, they're aristocratic. And this is late 1940s England. And so he's literally outclassed. He's dating outside of his class. So,
it's interesting that the only one who seems to have a problem with that is him. The family couldn't be nicer to him.
Right.
Or very welcoming.
Well, there are like little cracks in here and there where he, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I'm practically a member of the family. And then they're like, well, let's not get carried away.
That's very nice. Go get me a furniture.
I mean, but there's he takes her out on the date to like what's evidently the doctor's gala or something.
Yeah.
It's like, see how classy I am. I know the rich doctors. They bring their own gin in that they bottled themselves, evidently.
there's so many things that this film gets right,
mm-hmm.
which is why it is ultimately a bit disappointing. That class system runs throughout the entire film. Domhnall Gleeson plays a guy who seems to be sort of almost sleepwalking through his life, and you realize that the only thing that seems to give him any happiness is connected to this house.
Yeah.
And the house, I'll give the credit to the filmmakers and the production designers. This house almost it reminds me of The Shining in the sense that the house is a character, like the Overlook Hotel is a character.
Right.
Unfortunately, some of those Shining references come back in ways that don't do the film any service.
Well, I mean, like, it's a
beautiful old crumbling mansion, and right. the type of place that if I had the money, I would just buy and spend the night there by myself in the rooms where everyone died horribly in, because that's what I do as a white guy.
ghost that, recognized
that's
white
my people. Job. Yeah, go, game recognized game.
There yeah, go. There is a whole, and that's one of the you know turns that this takes is that. After a while, everybody in this family is kind of trying to get out of the house. Yeah. And Don Post is like, oh, no, I'm going to marry you, and we're going to stay here in the obviously haunted mansion.
We're
going to
make this place so happy.
Yeah, that even the characters are smart enough to be like, oh, we should really get the fuck out of here. He's like, no, we'll live here. It's like, oh, I thought we would just go somewhere else. Mother would find a nice cottage. It's like, oh, no, we're going to live here with your mom. We're going to live here.
Well, that's the thing. At the core...
I want to be fancy.
He realizes he doesn't really want to marry her so much as he wants to marry the house.
At the core of this film, and I think this definitely comes more so from the book and doesn't really translate 100% well, this is about like that sort of class and inequality Absolutely. And jealousy and... a lot of very negative things associated with the feeling of that you're not good enough, yeah. right? But I never felt like, despite Domhnall Gleeson being dedicated to giving it to his role, and I think to the detriment of the film, I don't think it ever really comes across as well as they mean it to. Part of the problem is that Gleeson is so stoic, he's so sour-faced through this. I think he smiles twice in this entire
even
film.
He's like,
and
I'm
even
very
for just
happy.
A second.
Yeah. And I'm just like, what? And he's like, I want to marry you because I'm very happy. I'm like, no.
I got news for you guys. Donald Gleason is probably not a happy-go-lucky guy in real life.
probably.
If you look at all of his characters,
but you, know about the
you don't
really
get
well.
A lot of goofy, like, hey, life's a bowl of cherries.
What do you mean that space Nazi wasn't a happy character?
No, it's just...
He's had more emotion, though.
Sometimes he yells. Yeah.
As a character who is the protagonist to the degree that he is also the narrator, he's not a pleasant person to follow around.
Hell
he's
no.
not wildly interesting. He's very stoic and even somewhat monotone. Yeah. And half the time he just has a look like just someone farted in the room and he's the guy who
you just don't know very many yeah. British
people. I was
going to
say, he is English.
He didn't clean his mustache.
Just because
way.
Richard is jovial does not mean they all are.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, Richard's been getting Monty drunk with Doc. Americans for like over a decade.
We've broken him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he could never go back.
The film does this interesting thing. I mean, visually, this film looks great. And it really commits to this sort of penumbral shading throughout the movie. Even movie scenes that are set during the daytime, they're like, why turn on the electric lights? Let's just use whatever weak light is coming through this window.
Partially also because they're like, we have very little money, so we can't afford to turn on the power.
But they do that everywhere else there. We're in the pub. Yes, it's bright outside. We don't need to turn the lights on. You know, everything they do finds a way to make that sort of darkness creep into every scene, and I appreciated that. I appreciated the design of it, and there's this really interesting thing they do. Every time you see Donald Gleeson, not every time, but lots of times, the camera's right on top of him, and they do this thing where he's in very shallow focus. And I feel like at those moments, the filmmakers are like, oh, we're inside his head. This is part of my problem, because the film invites us to feel like we are in his mind. It sets him up as an unreliable narrator, but there's also times where that interiority does not pay off because there are things that happen in this film. I'm like, oh, I thought I was supposed to be in Donald Gleason's mind, or I thought maybe he was narrating this and he's not being reliable, and they don't do that consistently because when it all wraps up at the end, all of those things you realize were just red herrings or stylistic choices that I thought were thematic choices, but were really there just because they looked good.
I kind of feel like watching this, it's almost that they're like, you know, we're going to let this movie take its time, slow boil, nice simmer,
yeah.
languid pace, and then they got, you know, an hour and a half in, and then they were like, oh shit, we got to wrap this up, guys. Yeah. And then it just starts to unravel because of that. Yes, that's when... Because the first two-thirds of this, I was loving it,
yeah.
and then, like, it just starts to get frayed, and they never really wrap those back into the rope.
Yeah. But not afraid.
I'm afraid not.
It's interesting that... It's interesting that Abramson chooses, obviously very intentionally, to use zero stylistic horror tricks in this film. Mm-hmm. Like, this film is made like... like a depressing episode of Downton Abbey more than it is a horror film. It's not shot in that way. It's constantly gives you, you never have the feeling, even when some horrible things are happening, that there is indeed something supernatural going on, despite characters saying maybe there's something supernatural going on.
Well,
he doesn't use, he never once lets the camera be the storyteller in terms of the creepiness. Mm-hmm. It's what the characters are saying. It's what's actually just flat out happening. And it's an interesting choice, but I think that, once again, this is a film that's going to be lost on a lot of American audiences. I think
peasants.
Who are going to see who see this as going to see a suspense horror film, a ghost story,
yeah,
and are going to go like, we're going to go like, this feels like I woke up and BBC was still on after Doctor Who at 3 in the morning.
This is
some shit that was
this
on.
Is more of a Hitchcockian suspense thriller with a little bit of horror in it.
Well, I'm not saying it's good as Hitchcock. If you have to compare it to something,
well, because
out
my main
there,
issue with
it's
it,
not fucking Vertigo.
Is like, yeah, the first two thirds, like you said, is really enjoyable because it's like watching this really nice puzzle getting kind of made, but then at the very end they're just like, well, let's just throw this ghost puzzle in, but none of these pieces fit the rest of this puzzle in any shape or form.
Yeah,
and it's just, so the movie just falls apart because all the little pieces that like are, you know, kind of ghost wise like nothing really connects with the supernatural stuff.
When you realize, okay, like I think they were trying to go for a somewhat ambiguous ending. Now I have never, to my own satisfaction, been able to explain why I like ambiguous endings. But I do like them when they're done well.
Depends on the ambiguous
ending. And I think the closest I've come to defining it is when a movie reaches that ambiguous ending and it somehow feels inevitable. It feels earned, like it couldn't have been any other way.
Like it was a downwards rushing train towards that you desperately didn't want it to be there.
Yeah. It felt like, no, actually, there were three or four different ways you could have wrapped this up, and that's the one you chose. And that was so disappointing to me, because I think any of those other more prosaic endings would have actually been more satisfying.
Well, they made it ambiguous in a way where, like, well, here's what probably happened, but we won't give you enough information for this ending to even make sense. So it's ambiguous because we want you to think it's believable and then realize that's not believable at all.
Well, yeah, every time I tried putting any of the pieces together that could make any of the other endings work for me, none of them all connected in any way that to even make the ambiguous ending make a good ending, I guess. Because it's like, well, what happened? It's like, well, you gave me all these pieces, but none of them fit together. It's like, well, it's ambiguous. I'm like, that doesn't fucking make that ending any better, though.
We're not going to spoil this movie for you. And like I said, the first two-thirds of this movie are really strong.
The butler didn't.
But there's no butler.
This is one of those movies.
Because he was a ghost.
If I were to tell you what the ending was and what I thought it meant, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here. That's not the way it ends. Like, no, really, that is the way it ends. It's really disappointing.
See, Kylo Ren pops out and starts killing everyone.
I knew this was going to happen.
It was Darth Maul all along.
They were all dead all along.
It was a giant shark.
The man in the hairpiece was Bruce Willis the whole time.
I thought Donald Gleason was going to turn around and it was going to be Oscar Isaac and going, well, I hope you've enjoyed your weekend in my huge house. By the way, have I showed you my robot maid?
I would have enjoyed that
Hogwarts.
Marco, go into final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I've kind of said some of it already. First two-thirds of this movie I thought were really strong. I really enjoy this sort of gothic thriller that is not reliant on jump scares and gore. It's a slow burn. Beautiful design. Everything about this, from performances to music to soundtrack work, all clicking until an ending that just didn't feel earned and didn't make a whole lot of sense. Ultimately disappointing. I give this 5.5 out of 10 servant bells all ringing at the same time.
Michael?
Yeah, this film, like everyone said, the first two-thirds are actually fairly interesting. I liked his relationship with the family a lot, even though Roddy sort of leaves like pretty early on. I was hoping that would kind of go back to that, but nothing really happens with that. There's a lot of little things that are planted throughout the film. Some of them are very interesting. Some of them just don't pay off. Overall, the settings is great. All of the actors do what they can. Domhnall Gleeson is just, I guess, very British. I'm not really sure, to be honest, on that one. He's just sort of...
He's very stiff upper lip.
He's stoic as fuck. But all of the supporting cast, like, fleshes out the world even more.
Like with the other I can assure you, men in 1940s England are not rife with emotion.
there's other doctors that appear throughout the film.
They're pretty rich. It's great.
They're all sarcastic as fuck compared to him.
It's like, why can't we follow one of those party doctors? Come on,
Dr. Bland.
Yes,
like Dr. Bland. Yeah,
Dr. Bland. But overall, like I said, the first two thirds are great, but the last third, it's just sort of feels like it goes on too long after a while, because when it tries to deliver the supernatural part of it, it just doesn't make any sense, like, as it goes on.
I would have given another 30 minutes if they just wrapped it up better.
Yeah, well, if it actually had wrapped up better, I probably could forgive some of that stuff. Because the thing about supernatural stuff is, if it doesn't make sense and you just go, ghosts, then you sort of just believe it at that point. But if it's ambiguous, then you're just like, well, I'm not really sure at this point what the point of any of this was.
I have mixed feelings about ambiguous endings on that point, but go ahead.
It depends on the ambiguous ending, like you said.
So your feelings are mixed. Ambiguous? Yes.
They're ambiguous,
maybe
yeah.
Yes, maybe no.
Overall, I would have to give it 5 out of 10 fancy mustaches.
Bo?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was really, really thinking that I was going to come out being a big cheerleader for this movie because, like I said, for the first two-thirds, sitting in my seat, enjoying the hell out of it, going like, man, I'm maybe buying this when it comes out. This is great. I'm kind of enjoying this like I enjoyed Gosford Park. And then, it just all comes apart, and they never get it back together again. And I'm really sad about that because the movie's stylish as hell. It's gorgeous. The cast is great, incredibly talented, well acted, and you know, I put this onto the director and the writer. You know, they apparently the book was even more ambiguous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't, you know, you can only.
And maybe the book earned that.
Yeah. Written by someone who literally said, I didn't know I was writing a ghost story till I was already well.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, sometimes you get a pearl, and sometimes it's just sand. And unfortunately, this thing ended up being just sand. And I'm sad about that. I give it 6 out of 10 Jammy Dodgers, but they're haunted.
Nice. Still not sure what those are, but okay.
They're like digestive biscuits.
Oh, yes. Is that what those are?
Yes.
Really? I like digestive biscuits. Those are delicious.
Which are cookies.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm going to agree with what everybody said so far. Yeah, the first two-thirds are really strong. I love a good gothic horror. Not that we've had many of them lately, but you know, I love a movie that doesn't rely on jump scares. It's all atmosphere. It's all building up to that. I even like a horror movie that does a good ambiguous ending to an extent. You know, you could say, like, The Babadook's an ambiguous ending where it could just be that they're crazy people.
No, I mean, that's decidedly the very definition of an ambiguous ending.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I like that. But when it's done right and it's earned, and this movie doesn't earn it. It starts kind of earning it in the first two acts, and in the third act, it's just like, oh, we really need to move into doing something at this point, don't we? And it just jumps the gun on everything and then starts, let's lay your clues now for you. Clues that might mean nothing because we need to move this story. And that's just, it's really disappointing when you have some really great performances. Donald Gleason, I mean, say what you want to about him being haunted. The soulless joke really holds up with it. But it's true that he actually still gives a really good performance. He stays true to that character. He does show some range at times in it that he needs to for that character, and it works. I really want to like this, though, and it just doesn't stick the landing. I'm going to give it 4.5 random S's found in your cabinet.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I watched this, and I'm like, there's nothing technically wrong with this film. All the performances are good. And I think Domhnall Gleeson's decision to play the character he did, the way he did, makes sense, especially once we get to through the full run. But it makes him extremely unpleasant to follow through this movie. Mm. You're never rooting for him. Even Ruth Wilson, who I adore, ever since Luther, when she played the female Hannibal Lecter, basically, on the first season of that.
Spoilers!
I've been a big fan of her as an actress, her overbite and all. And I think in here, I've got the feeling everybody was just told, tone it down, play it very down.
You too,
Don. Everything is all blues and grays. And
you're not British enough.
The whole movie is like one of those videos that people watch now designed to make you meditate and fall asleep to. It's
ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR.
ASMR, British people.
It's just, there's... it felt like early on we needed something that had more of a sense of, like, something to give you a little bit of a punch of something disturbing to happen, you know? Not necessarily related to the supernatural at all. Probably not, specifically, but something, like, ugly.
Maybe they were all a bit fagged out after having been bummed for 10 years. Did you think about that, Chris?
It weirded me out. I was watching, rewatching How to Date a Girl, How to Talk Girl at Parties, and Nicole Kidman keeps referring to the thing getting fagged out, and I was like, what the fuck? This movie just came out!
It means
that's
tired.
A, yeah, apparently that's a thing, so.
But don't say shagged out. That means something different.
Afterwards, indeed, we'll go outside and we'll smoke a fag.
Or chalk.
Not in my backyard, you don't.
In my backyard. Texas.
I mean, this is fine. I would have liked to have seen Charlotte Rampling, who's obviously an amazing actress, have more opportunities to do more. She has one really cool scene that it feels like they cut away from too soon. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, this is just, it's very long. It's very dry. It's very, kind of the whole tone of it is very monotone. Mm-hmm. I love the house, sure. But at the end, I was like, and I'll say, I think I like the ending better than you guys, because I kind of like it. At that point, I was like, wow, something happened that I totally didn't see, 100% see coming from the very beginning of the film. So there you go.
Boo this man.
You're long and dry. That's what I say.
It was that's unexpected, but not
her. Until you went back to the movie, I thought you were just explaining the history of being British.
No.
It was unexpected.
I'm going to wait for Richard to be back on again for that.
And, well, there was an invasion in 1066, and then no one beat us for a long time.
I think rationing kicked in at the end of the movie.
That was the best history joke I've heard all day.
There's no more money. Just stop the movie.
I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 drunken glasses, cups of tea, of which there were many.
There were a couple.
I do have a question for you guys. Do you think in some of those dark scenes that you should use Domhnall Gleeson's pale face as a bounce board?
Yeah, right. He just lit the scene. The scene literally lit up when he was in it.
You guys can all go fuck yourselves.
Shut up, you soulless ginger.